Carolina at Spring Lake, preaching for John Chapman, who is now the pastor there. And in his stead, we have with us this morning Cody and Rachel Henson from Kingsport Sovereign Baptist Church in Kingsport, Tennessee. And I'm sure that talking with Cody last night, that we're all going to be hugely blessed by the message he's about to bring to us. Brother Cody, if you would, come and teach us from the Lord's Word.
Good morning. It's good to be with you all today. I'm very honored that Paul would ask me to come preach to you, and I don't think I could come here and, you know, not say. You get nervous anytime you preach, but being a young preacher and preaching to Henry Mahan, I pray the Lord wouldn't allow me to even think about it, because you're all my brethren, and I'm so thankful, and it truly is an honor to be here. If you will open your Bibles back to Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6. Our text will be found in verse 9. We'll start at the second part of the verse. Genesis 6, 9 says, Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. Noah walked with God. That's the title of my message this morning. We remember Enoch, right? In the previous chapter, Enoch walked with God. And he was not, for God took him. And before God translated him into his kingdom, he had this testimony that he pleased God. So what do we know about Enoch? He pleased God and he walked with God. He was translated. He's with God in glory. And I pray that I would have that same testimony, not merely before men, but before God. That I walked with God, that I pleased God by faith. Now, what does it mean to walk with God? I want to walk with God. I really do. And I pray that each of us here does. What does it mean to walk with God? It means to walk together in fellowship. You know, Gabe says all the time, we're fellows in the same ship. You and I, we're brethren. And what do we read in the Psalms? How good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. We have fellowship. We have communion one with another. We walk together. Well, how do you walk together in fellowship? How do you get this fellowship? How did we get the fellowship that we have? That is so wonderful. How do we obtain this? From God. How do we obtain fellowship with God? First of all, it's God's Word. And we don't, you know, people talk about God being their buddy. Well, that's not, God says the opposite. We're friends of the world, the enemies of God. The carnal mind hates God. That's us by nature. We must agree with God. Amos chapter 3 verse 3 says, can two walk together? And this certainly speaks of us, but it speaks of us and God. Can two walk together except they be agreed? We cannot walk together except we be agreed. And I mentioned earlier, we have fellowship one with another. We have the mind of Christ. Well, how did Noah walk with God? How did Enoch walk with God? They agreed with God. It's the only way. They agreed with God. They agreed with God. What God says about man, they said, amen. What God said about who God is, amen, I agree. And what God says about the justice of God, we just read about it, I agree. We must agree with God. We must side with God. We must side with God. And not only that, Enoch and Noah, they were one with God. We are one with one another. We dwell together in unity. We are truly made one. We read in our text that Noah was a just man. Remember, just Lot. He was a just man and perfect. The Lord Jesus said, "Be ye therefore perfect." Be ye therefore perfect. Well, how was Noah just and perfect? If we're going to walk with God, we have to be just that. We have to be just and perfect. How did Noah, how was he just and perfect? Look back at our text, verse 5. "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." Notice it doesn't say the hearts of men. It says the heart of man. Did that include Noah? You better believe it. That included Noah. That included Enoch. That includes you and me. Well, how was Noah just and perfect? Noah was a sinner. A sinner isn't just and perfect, is he? Now, what did the scripture say? There's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Not a single one. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. God looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there was any that did understand. If there was any that did seek God. And what did he find? Every one of them has gone back. Every one of them. They're all together become filthy. There's none good. No, not one. Not one. Well, how then was Noah? How was Noah just and perfect? Look at verse 8 of our text. "But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." Noah found grace. How are we saved? By God's grace. We're saved by grace, not by our works. Noah found grace. Noah was saved by grace. And you know how he found it? I love thinking about this. How did Noah find grace? This might confuse somebody, but this is glorious. Noah found God's grace by not even looking for it. Scriptures say, "You shall seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." Well, I'm going to search God. What did Job say? "Can man by searching find out God?" That'd give all the glory to us. Well, I sought God. I found God. Here's how Noah found grace. God in his grace found him. Has that been your experience? Has God in his grace found you? Oh, I pray it would. I pray God would find us in his grace. What did he tell Moses? He said, Moses asked, "Lord, show me your glory." He said, "Moses, I will be gracious." You know, people have a problem with Jacob, have I loved, but Esau, have I hated. Don't even think about that. Election, I rejoice in election. That opens the door for me. Don't worry. God will be gracious to whom he'll be gracious. Well, who knows if he'll be gracious to me? So just think about this. I will be gracious. Oh, God, have mercy on me. God, be gracious to me, the sinner. That's how Noah was just and perfect, by the grace of God. And that's how Noah walked with God. Now, I want to briefly talk to you this morning about Noah's walk with God. Keep your bookmark here in Genesis chapter 6. I know this isn't the most convenient thing to do, but we're going to be turning back and forth from Genesis to Hebrews. So keep a bookmark or a bulletin or something there and turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews 11. I want to show you six things about Noah's walk with God. And these six things apply to you and me. If we walk with God, these apply to everybody that walks with God. Look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7. "By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith." The first thing I want us to see about Noah's walk with God is that Noah walked with God by faith. By faith. "For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God." We read in the scriptures, "The just shall live by faith." We don't walk by sight. Oh, Henry, your eyes are not set on this world, are they? And by the grace of God, ours are not either. We walk by faith. And what is this faith? Well, first of all, it's the faith that God gives us. A saving faith. And it's faith that looks somewhere. Faith does not look in the evidence of things not, the substance of things not seen. Okay, it's things not seen. We're looking somewhere. Where are we looking? Where does this God-given faith look? We know, don't we? It looks to Christ. To Him looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. That's where our faith is, right? It's in Christ. Faith in Christ. You say, well, Noah, he was in the Old Testament. He was long ago. Surely he didn't have faith in Christ. God makes the difference. That's the only true faith there is. Noah had faith in Christ by the grace of God. God in mercy, he found Noah. And he pointed Noah to Christ. And we'll see that with the ark, won't we? We'll see that. And you know what faith is? Faith believes in God. God gives a man faith, that man believes God. We believe God's Word. We agree with God. We agree with what God has to say in His Word. You know, the Lord told some religious folks, He said, you search the Scriptures. Search the Scriptures. For in them you think you have eternal life. People, if you get a Bible, and they think, well, I found God. You don't. It's not going to happen. God finds you. Search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. They are they which testify of me, He said. We must see Christ in the Scriptures. It's the hymn book. It's His book. It's all about Him, the Lord Jesus. You and I must believe in God. This Bible does us no good if we don't see Christ. We must see Him. We must believe Him. And by God's grace, we will do just that. We will believe Him. We'll believe on Him. We'll trust Him. And we'll walk with Him by faith. And we'll walk with Him by faith, but we will not walk with God at all. It's the only way. The only way. Second, look back at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7. Noah walked with God by hearing God's Word. By faith, Noah, being warned of God. Noah was warned of God of things not seen as yet. What was that? What things was Noah warned of God about? Look back in Genesis chapter 6. Genesis 6, verse 13. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me. For the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Look at chapter 7, verse 4. God said, for yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth, 40 days and 40 nights, and every living substance that I have made will I destroy from off the face of the earth. What was God saying? God said, man is evil. Man has corrupted his way upon the earth. Man is evil. I am going to destroy man. The end of all flesh has come before me. I'm going to wipe man off the earth. What's that? God's judgment fell upon the old world. And God destroyed it. We'll see that in a minute too. That applies to us. You know that. God said, and God put the bow in. He said, never going to destroy the world by flood again. But in the New Testament we read, He will destroy this world again. This time by fire. He's coming. He's coming. And praise God, He's coming. Lord, come quickly. But it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. You know, this world knows very little about the judgment of God. And they knows very little about the judgment of God. What did God say when the Passover? He said, I will execute judgment. God's going to execute judgment. It's coming. It's coming to your house and to mine. Hebrews 9 verse 27 says, it's appointed unto men once to die. We're going to die, but after this, the judgment. We're going to stand before a holy and just God. You and I must. We will face God. And look at Genesis chapter 7 verse 10. And it came to pass after 7 days that the waters of the flood were upon the earth, just as God said it would. He said in 7 days, flood's coming. 7 days went by, the flood came. God said this is going to come. That's going to come as a thief in the night. We're not going to see it coming, but He's coming. We need to realize that. We need to pray for God to prepare us for that. And I want us to put ourselves in Noah's shoes. You know, they say that it had never rained before. And then God says, I'm going to flood the earth. Can you imagine? You know, people hear what we preach. They hear the gospel preaching and they don't hear anything. They say, that's ridiculous. You mean to tell me God, you can't tell me God loves me? Not outside of Christ, I can't. Outside of Christ, God's a consuming fire. And we're all born into this world dead in our trespasses and sins. God must punish sin. Yet, I like to put myself in Noah's shoes and think, is God really going to do this? Noah was a sinner just like you and me. Noah could not believe God apart from God causing him to, just like you and me. Is God really going to do this? Look at Genesis 7, verse 17. And the flood was 40 days upon the earth. And the waters increased and bare up the ark, and it was lifted up above the earth. And the waters prevailed and were increased greatly upon the earth. And the ark went upon the face of the waters. And the waters prevailed exceedingly upon the earth. And all the high hills that were under the whole heaven were covered. 15 cubits upward did the waters prevail. And the mountains were covered. Is God going to do this? God's going to do this. God is going to come to us in judgment. He will. And we must give account. You see, God is holy. We read, what did God say about it? It grieved God in His heart that He made man. You know why? Because we're sinners. We're nothing but sin. God is holy. He's of pure eyes than to behold evil. He cannot look on iniquity. That's why God's justice said man has got to die. And it's the second death that we must fear. We must have a hope. We must have a hope. Look here in verse 21. It says, and all flesh died. Does your Bible say that? All flesh died. Read on. That moved upon the earth, both of fowl and of cattle and of beast and of every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, and every man. All flesh, every man, all in whose nostrils was the breath of life, of all that was in the dry land, died. Every man died. You remember that rich man who wanted Abraham to dip the tip of his finger in water, cool his tongue, because he was tormented in this flame. What did God's mercy say in the day of judgment when God put righteousness to the plumb? When it was too late, what did God's mercy have for him? Nothing. It was too late. God, He just not only did the Lord destroy all flesh, He destroyed all animals. God, there is no mercy outside of Christ. Not one drop. But praise God. Look at verse 23. Look what it says here. And every living substance was destroyed which was upon the face of the ground, both man and cattle and the creeping things and the fowl of the heaven, and they were destroyed from the earth. Aren't you glad that verse don't stop there? And Noah only remained alive, and they that were with him in the ark. That's good news, ain't it? Praise God for the ark. Praise God for mercy in Christ. Now, this point was that Noah, he was warned of God of things not seen as yet, and so are you and I. God has given us His word. God said, I'm going to come. Vengeance is mine. I'm coming. What's going to be our reaction to that? I pray that God would cause us to heed His warning. To heed His warning. We better. Back at Hebrews 11, verse 7. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear. The third point is Noah walked with God by fearing God. And not only did Noah walk with God by fearing Him, he was moved with fear. Moved with fear. I wonder what kind of fear that was. Was he just afraid? Was he just terrified? Noah was moved with the fear. You know, we're constrained by the love of Christ. Noah was moved with that fear of the Lord. He reverenced God. You know, to believe God is to reverence God. No one's going to believe God who doesn't take God's word seriously, who doesn't reverence God. Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Reverence God. Believe Him. Believe Him. He believed God would do exactly what He said He was going to do. You know that? That's why He prepared the ark. That's why He built the ark. Noah was absolutely persuaded that God was able to save him. You think about that. Are you persuaded that God is fully able to save you apart from your will, apart from any works of our hands? Scriptures say He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. We know whom we believe. We're persuaded that He's able, aren't we? Persuaded that He is able. You cannot walk with God apart from fearing God. It's just not going to happen. And yet, with that being said, only God can put such a fear in our hearts. Only God can give us that fear. Over in Psalm 34, it says, "O fear the Lord, ye His saints. There is no want to them that fear Him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing." He said, "Come, hearken unto me, I'll teach you the fear of the Lord. Oh God, teach me the fear of the Lord. Cause me to believe you, to reverence you in my heart, to bow and submit to your will." We must. We must. Fourth, Noah walked with God by obeying God. Read our text again, Hebrews 11:7. It says, "By faith Noah." And you know, I'm glad we're reading it over and over. Let's hammer that point down. By faith Noah. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, he prepared an ark to the saving of his house. Turn back to Hebrews. I'm sorry, we're in Hebrews. Turn back to Genesis chapter 6 again. Noah prepared the ark. Look at Genesis 6 verse 14. The Lord was speaking to Noah. He just said, "I'm going to destroy flesh. The end of all flesh has come. I'm going to destroy all flesh and beasts." And then he said, "Make thee an ark. Make thee an ark." And then he went on and said, "This is how you're going to make it." He said, "Noah, the end of all flesh has come. Make you an ark. This is how I'm going to save you. I'm going to be gracious to you. I'm going to save you. Make thee an ark." And look down at verse 22. God had just told him, "This is exactly how you're going to make the ark." Genesis 6:22 says, "Thus did Noah." God said, "Build the ark." Thus did Noah. This is how you're going to make it. You're going to pitch it within and without with pitch. This is how long. This is how tall. This is how wide. There's going to be one door. Christ is the door. All must enter by Him. There's going to be one window. This is how you're going to make the ark. Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him. So did he. You know why Noah did that? Why Noah did thus? Why Noah did what the Lord commanded him? Because he believed God. He believed God. Feared God. Trusted God. We must believe God. And we must obey Him. Well, you can't say that. I'm not here to tell you keep His commandments. We kept them in Christ. But I am here to tell you there's one commandment we must keep. Look at 1 John chapter 3. 1 John 3, verse 23. 1 John 3:23 says, "And this is His commandment." This is God's commandment. "That we should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as He gave us commandment." This is His commandment. We're not going to be saved by trying to keep the law of God. We establish the law in Christ, by faith in Christ. But God commands us to believe on Christ. We aren't going to establish the law in Christ unless we believe on Christ. We must believe God, obey God's commandment, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And you and I will believe for the same reason that Noah believed. God gave him faith to believe Him. That's the only way we're going to believe God, if God gives us the faith. Noah truly believed God is going to save me through that ark. You know what my hope is? You know what I'm believing with all my heart by the grace of God? That God is going to save me through the ark, Christ Jesus. Salvation is only in Him. If we're going to walk with God, we must obey His commandment. John 3 verse 36 says, "He that believeth on the Son, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the..." Hear this. "You believe not on the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abide upon Him." Oh God, give us the grace to obey Your commandment, to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Fifth, look back at Hebrews 11, verse 7. Noah walked with God by faithfully declaring the truth of God. Let's read it again. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. His house was saved. But look what follows after that. By the which he condemned the world. Not everybody was saved. Almost everybody on the face of the earth. God killed them. Rightfully so. But Noah's house was saved. And Noah condemned the world. How do you suppose Noah condemned the world? I'll tell you. He was declaring the truth of God. He believed God. He obeyed God's commandment. He built the ark. God told him to build exactly how he told him to build it. And we'll see it in a second. But Noah was a preacher. Noah was a preacher. You know what true preaching is? And that Noah, all his message was this is what God said. Noah didn't have some great message that he came up with. What God told him, Noah turned around and he told it to others. That's exactly right. And that's what true preaching is, isn't it, Henry? We tell others what God has already told us. Thus saith the Lord. That I was reading one of his commentaries, and in the foreword, Paul had written a little something, and he said that a self-proclaimed scholar had this to say. Now, too simple. They just say what God says. That's it. God forbid our message be anything but that. What God says. That is good. Turn over to 2 Peter chapter 2. Second Peter chapter 2 verse 4. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness, to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. Noah, by the grace of God, was saved. And Noah, by the grace of God, was a preacher of righteousness. You know what that means? Noah preached righteousness. Well, what kind of righteousness did he preach? The righteousness of God. No, just as we, by the grace of God, preach a person. We preach Christ and Him crucified. Noah preached a person in the form of an ark. Noah preached an ark. He said, your only hope, God's wrath is coming to you and to me. It's coming. But He has provided an ark. God has, and God provided the ark. Your only hope, and my only hope, is to be in that ark, which God has provided. You remember Abraham took Isaac, his only son, up, and God said, kill him. Abraham, he had everything there, right? And then Isaac said, well, Father, where's the lamb for a burnt offering? And what did he say? Son, God will provide Himself a lamb. You see, the ark is our only hope of salvation. Christ alone is our only hope. Who provided that hope? Did you or I do anything? Did we play any part in providing that hope for sinners? Not a single part. God did it all. God will provide Himself a lamb, and He provided the lamb, and He provided Himself as that lamb. Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Noah preached Christ. Noah, and by the grace of God, we'll do the same. And preaching Christ, He condemned all who refused to believe. Turn over to John chapter 3. When the gospel of God's free grace in Christ is preached, some will believe and some will believe not. Every time. Some believed and some believed not. John 3 verse 18. He that believeth on Him, the Lord Jesus Christ, he that believeth on Christ is not condemned. No condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. But he that believeth not is condemned already. Why? Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Noah condemned everybody who refused to believe his message of salvation in Christ alone. But it wasn't so much Noah that condemned them as it was they condemned themselves. Look at verse 19. It says, "And this is the condemnation." Here it is. "That light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light. Christ came into the world and we hated him." Hated him without a cause. Hated him with all we had. You and I did. It wasn't just the men of old. It was us. Light himself came into the world and we put him on a cross. You know why we did that? Look at the end of verse 19. "Because our deeds were evil." What did God say? "The wickedness of man great in the earth. Every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil." That's us. Continuing. "Noah preached the righteousness of God, Christ. And this is the sad reality. Nobody needed it." You know who got in that ark? God said, this is who's going to be in the ark. Noah, Noah's sons, Noah's wife, and Noah's sons' wives. Everybody God said is going to be in the ark was in the ark. No more, no less. "And that's all that the Father giveth me." What are they going to do? "Shall come to me. But him that cometh to me." Well, that shuts me out. Oh, no. "But him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." Come to him. The commandment is come. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. How are we going to come? "No man can come to me." Oh, well, that puts man down in the dirt, don't it? "No man can come to me." But praise God for that next word. "Except the Father which has sent me draw him." He's going to draw somebody, ain't he? Oh, praise God. Noah declared the truth of God. He faithfully declared the gospel as God revealed it to him. And I can imagine that Noah was very concerned, not only for his own soul, "This not thy soul," we must be concerned with our soul, but he was very concerned for the souls of his loved ones. I rejoice to read that God put Noah and his family in that ark. But we know Noah had other family. Don't we read the generations of Noah? There were many, many in that day as there are in our day. Noah was concerned with the souls of his loved ones. And you know what? So are we. I have 4 siblings. We all have family, do we not? Some believe God, some don't. And we try to bring them here and pray God would speak to them just as he spoke to us through the foolishness of preaching. You know, we can't save anybody. We certainly can't save ourselves. But God can. His hand's not shortened that it cannot save. You know, looking out into the auditorium, I see some people, I just love you with all my heart. And I see some that I've never met before. I see some I do not know, but I care about your souls the same. This is too serious. How could we be saved and not care about the souls of others? God forbid any man stand to preach who cares not for the souls of men. I want you to be saved, but I know the only way it's going to happen. God must speak to you through his word, through the foolishness of preaching. There's no other way. God must give us faith in Christ and him alone. And I pray that God would give us the faith. Last week, Gabe preached on, therefore seeing we've received this ministry. We have received this glorious ministry. God, help us to be faithful. Help us to be your faithful witnesses. You know, we're all a part of this work. Whether we're sitting in the pew or standing here singing a song, we're all part of this ministry that God has graciously given us. Lord, make us faithful. And what's our message? To tell others what great things He hath done for us. I love what Brother Scott said. A gospel preacher's a nobody. I'm a nobody. You know, as much as we love and adore Henry, he'd tell you, I'm a nobody. Oh, but by the grace of God, I'm going to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. Oh, God, help us. Turn back to Hebrews 11, verse 7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. You know what Noah did? He built that ark and God saved him. God saved him from his wrath that he sent on this world. Noah walked with God and he persevered to the very end. Look back at our text in Genesis 6. Noah found salvation in the ark. That's the only place he found it. And that's the only place you and I will find it. But consider this quickly. Why was Noah in the ark? Why was Noah in the ark? Look at Genesis 6 verse 17. The Lord said, "Behold, I, even I, do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. But with thee..." Who's he talking to? Noah. "But with thee will I establish my covenant. And thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons, thy wife, and thy sons' wives with thee." God chose Noah to build that ark. God chose Noah to be in that ark. Who did the choosing? That ark's a picture of Christ. Who? God. We've not chosen Him. We never would choose Him. God made, He said, "I'll make my covenant with you." Who made the covenant? God. You know, we make agreements with each other, and that takes two, doesn't it? You know who God agreed with when He made a covenant? With Himself. God, the three, He made a covenant with Himself for us, a bunch of nobodies, unworthy sinners. God did it, and Noah simply received it by the faith God gave him, made him willing in the day of His power, just as He will for us if we belong to Him. Well, doesn't Noah get some credit? We got to give him some of the credit, right? Look at verse 16 of Genesis 7. Verse 16, it says, "And they that went in male and female of all flesh, as God had commanded him. And the Lord shut him in." You mean to tell me from start to finish, God purposed to send the flood? God purposed to show mercy? God chose to save Noah and his family? And God even shut him in? Well, what did Noah do? Nothing. By the grace of God, by the faith God gave him, he believed God. And that's the way it must be for you and me. Salvation's in the ark. Salvation's in Christ. And notice back in our text, it said Noah became, in Hebrews 11:7, it said Noah became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. I love thinking about this. Noah was heir of righteousness. Isn't that glorious? Now you think about an heir. What's an heir? Somebody who inherits something. How do you inherit something? You inherit something by somebody else. It's not, you had no part to play in it. If I receive an inheritance from my family, what did I do to get it? Well, I was their son. Well, how did I do that? It just happened. I had no part to play in that. And an inheritance is earned by the merit of somebody else, isn't it? Don't you like that? Who do you suppose earned Noah's inheritance? That righteousness which he was an heir of. The Lord Jesus Christ. You see, Noah became heir by free gift. What did the Scripture say? Romans 6:23. The wages of sin, that's what Noah deserved. That's what you and I deserve. Death. That's the wages of sin. Praise God, that verse don't stop there either. But the gift of God. Are we interested in that? But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. What a gift. What a gift. "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God." In conclusion, I just want to consider God's wrath, that flood that we just read about. All flesh died. That ark that Noah built. Did that really happen? Scientists will tell you, "Oh, that couldn't happen, man. Waters that covered the mountains? No, no. It just doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make sense with what I've learned in school. It goes against all common sense. It goes against all logic." God said it happened. You know what that means? It happened. Todd would say that he saw a bumper sticker that said, "God said it, I believe it, that settles it." Todd said, "No, God said it, that settles it. Amen. God poured out His wrath on all flesh and all beasts, just like He said He would. And that included Noah. Do you know that? God poured out His wrath on Noah. What? What? God said, every sin must be punished. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. Noah sinned just like us. Noah's sin had to be punished too. Well, why wasn't Noah destroyed with the rest? Anybody have any idea? Because he was in the ark. God poured out His wrath on all flesh, including those that were in the ark. But it didn't touch them. God's wrath couldn't touch them because they were in the ark that God put them in, that God prepared for them. God shut them in. That ark endured all the wrath of God too. But you know why that ark was not destroyed? I love reading the commentary. It was pitched within and without with pitch. The atonement, the blood of Christ that saves us. The redemption we have through His blood, that blood must be applied to us individually. That blood is the holy blood of God, which people trample under their feet every day. That's the blood that saves. God said, when I see the blood, I pass over you. Just as that ark was sufficient, the Lord spoke to Moses through that burning bush that was not consumed. That bush is Christ. Endured all the wrath of God, but God raised Him from the dead and said, I'm satisfied, it's finished. Saved, salvation in Christ. Over in Hebrews 10, but this man, we offer all these sacrifices, but this man, after he'd offered one sacrifice for sins forever, he sat down. From henceforth, expecting till his enemies be made his footstool, for by one offering he had perfected forever them that are sanctified. Noah was a just man and perfect. Well, how was he perfect? Christ perfected him forever. Perfected him from eternity. Praise God for Jesus Christ, the substitute of sinners. God hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. You may have seen it. I didn't read it. But in Genesis 7 verse 1 it said that God saw Noah as righteous. Why, how could He see Noah as righteous? Because God made him righteous. That's how. We go about to establish our own righteousness, not submitting to Christ. God can make us righteous. God has made His people righteous through the death of Christ and resurrection. Would you be saved? Would you walk with God? There's just one hope. There's just one way. Christ said, I'm the way. I'm the life. Salvation is in Christ alone. Well, how can I know if I'm in Christ? 1 Corinthians 1 verse 30 says, but of God are you in Christ Jesus. Of God are we in Christ Jesus. And He's made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. And we're going to glory in the Lord. Is Christ enough? You mean to tell me that? That sounds like such a simple message. Is that really all? Is Christ enough? I got to do something, right? Believe God. Pray for God to give you faith to trust Him, to look to Christ alone. Christ is enough only if He is all we've got. Scripture says we're complete in Him. Christ is all in. That's what Paul loves to think. Christ is all. And I love it. Christ is all. And in all. I pray God would cause each soul here to be in Christ and that He would enable us to walk with Him by faith until the day we die. Until we shall awake in His likeness, conform to His image, and we shall see Him as He is. We'll be satisfied forever. And that time's coming a lot sooner than we think. Oh God, have mercy on us sinners. Amen. Let us pray. God, our gracious Heavenly Father, oh, we come to You this day as beggars, as needy sinners. You say that we're evil, corrupt, beyond repair, but You prepared an ark Oh, God, as you put Noah and his family in that ark, I pray that you would put us in Christ. There is no hope outside of him. Give us a fear of the Lord. Oh, cause us to obey your commandment. Enable us to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ alone for salvation complete. Give us faith in him and cause us to look to him. As long as we're here in this, Lord, cause us to look to him and joyfully await that day when we shall be with him forever. See him as he is, beholding him in all his glory, singing, "Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb which was slain." Oh, God, forgive us of our sins through the blood of Christ. Save us and keep us by your grace. Enable us to walk with you by faith. For Christ's sake and in his name I pray. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Carson. Stand with me, sing a closing hymn, number 205, "Once for All."
Oh,